look, those passionate kissing moments, you need two people who are game.
Hello, Addison.
Billy, episode 6 was my favorite TL episode by far. He hasn't necessarily been my favorite, but after this episode, we saw a tender side to him.
I'm really liking who TL is becoming. It's not who I thought he was when this show started. I didn't think he'd be so... He's kind of like Grandpa, you know? He's jokey, a little dorky. It's a lot of fun.
He is a little dorky. That's a great way to describe him. And an onion of, you know, if you peel back a few layers, you start to see, okay, there is a really deep, tender side to him. You know?
What is the scene or what was the moment that really endeared you to TL from episode 6?
Oh my gosh. Towards the end where they're at the rodeo, he loses it with Clark. Not Clark. What is his name? Nash Peters. Peters. They used to work together. There's an altercation. Then Tommy, TL are in the barn or in the stables. And you really understand... Essentially, Nash was talking ill of TL's wife. And, you know, prior to all of this, we just see TL's wife as someone who was just like darkly, very much so troubled, didn't treat Tommy in the best way. But in this scene, you just understand TL breaks down and he's explaining to Tommy, like, you just never knew your mom like I knew her. She used to be this joyful person. And when his sister died of SIDS, like that's where she just totally took a turn. And you just saw this deep, Sam Elliott did such a great job of evoking this emotion of like, I don't know if gratitude's the right word, but just adoration for someone. And I think that was just the first time that one, I just saw such a deep emotional side to TL and also deeper empathy for TL's wife. It just was so well done.
That's Sam Elliott. He's a pretty good actor. I don't know if he in case you didn't know, people, Sam Elliott.
Okay, yeah,
he can act a little bit. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was a good scene. I was 100% wrong about what led to that altercation with Nash. I thought maybe there was some drinking that got started. TL kind of started it by cutting that conversation short and saying, "Why do we need to talk to each other?" And to back up just a little bit, the guy Nash was his foreman or someone on his crew back when TL was in the oil business. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to say, "Hey, how you doing?" This kind of thing. The guy was part of a prison crew that was doing some cleanup at the expo there and was maybe just looking for some conversation. And then he calls Tommy a jerk. And then before we know it, punches are being thrown. Security's coming in. TL's got a little spark in him, apparently. You know, he can get up and throw a punch at a guy without them seeing it happening. So
he might look frail, but he's not.
No.
Throw a good right hook. Left hook? Left hook.
Isn't that like classic? I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. Like, don't you think like your grandpa could still throw one if he had to?
I think so. He might lose his balance after the fact. Yeah. They look unassuming. It's those people that you really need to have your eye out.
Yeah. But here's the thing that bothers me a little bit is Tommy still is not giving his dad just like an ounce of dignity and respect from the get-go in this episode. He's just constantly on, "Well, I'm going to Fort Worth. Come if you want." Blah, blah, blah. And at the end, he's talking to Galeno, and Galeno's like, "Tell me your dad's story." His story's over with.
I think you have to waffle. One, I also, like I said, I've fallen in love with TL. When TL was clearly trying to spend time with his son, come to Fort Worth with him, and, you know, Tommy wanted nothing to do with that. And then to your point, was very just dismissive of like, okay, fine, whatever. I think we have to cut Tommy some slack, though. If that probably is so deeply, that relationship is so deeply darkened for years that you're not going to, all of a sudden, dad moves in, you flip a switch, and now everything's quintessential. Like, I'm going to give Tommy some grace of his character. He's not going to just flip a switch. He's old. Like, there's some childhood family wounds that are deep.
After the fight, Tommy sees Galeno and he refers to his dad as an outdoor cat. Yes. And I am 100% going to use that this holiday season around someone in my family. I'm going to refer to that as, because that's just how the Duke's family rolls. There's a few outdoor cats out there, but that was awesome.
I like that saying, he or she's an outdoor cat. We have some fun news of this episode. Billy and I just got off of an interview with Guy Burnett, who plays Charlie. Now, if you don't remember who Charlie is, he first came on the scene when he was on the flight with Rebecca, the lawyer, and he's the one who kind of walks her through flight anxiety. So we got to sit down and talk with him because episode 6, I mean, if we thought the romance wasn't going to continue, it does. He gives her a good old smooch in front of everyone on the patch, essentially.
And that was a great guest, wasn't it?
We're going to have that at the very end of this interview, but so stick around. You'll definitely want to hear it because I think, I don't know if you agree with this, Billy, he kind of like as a guy, as a person, and then Charlie as an actor, there's some semblances. I'm like his kind of.
Sure.
I don't know what word I'm trying to use, but they are just very similar.
We're running the full interview, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Guy Burnett, I mean, he's charming. He's intelligent. He knows if only he was good looking, he'd really have it all.
Yeah. It really stinks that he wasn't good looking at all.
I enjoyed this interview quite a bit. He's got a great accent. He tells some great stories about Sam Elliott and Billy Bob Thornton. So that'll be sort of the back end of our episode today, which, as you've probably noticed, is not live. Addison and I let you know last week that we're taking a week off the live so we can do Christmas with the family. That's why we don't have clips from episode 6. They're just not available to us yet. We're also taking a timeout on trivia and the Q&A as well. We'll pick both of those things back up next week, which will be the 30th, December 30th at 2 p.m. We'll be back on our usual time slot.
And once you've fully listened to this interview, either on YouTube or if you listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, let us know at staff@tasteofcountry.com. When you listen to the full Guy Burnett interview, what is your favorite takeaways from it? I'm excited to hear. I mean, I have my own takeaways that we can talk about next episode, but I'm excited to hear y'all's perspective.
Cooper and Ariana. This week, they seem to be racing towards the altar at lightning speed. Cooper has gotten the blessing from, I think that's Ariana's late husband's mother is who that woman was, correct?
Okay. Yes. Yes. Who they live next door to across the street.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. All very close. And she seems, everybody's all in on Cooper. Like you meet Cooper, you're all in. So he's got a little bit, he's got like that low key game. Like Charlie on this show, like, you see him coming, you know he's got game. Cooper's got like that low-key game where he just sort of has that hangdog look on his face that really sort of works out pretty well for him.
I know, it's endearing. Where, yeah, Charlie gives a little bad boy energy. Cooper does not.
100%. 100%. I mean, I don't know. Where are we at with this romance? Are you liking it? Are you...
Charlie or Cooper?
Cooper.
I'm now more interested in Charlie and Rebecca, so I couldn't care less about Ariana and Cooper, if I'm being honest. No, it's fine. I think it's just really kind of like me. I like them together.
Okay, fair enough. I don't have too much to say about them either. They seem to be doing just fine this episode. We didn't think it'd be a big Cooper and Ariana episode, and it certainly wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely do. Did you like this episode?
I did. I liked the TL and Tommy scenes a lot. Like they're hanging out, traveling together. I thought that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And it's getting a little bit more dramatic. I'm still hoping for a little bit. Here's the thing I haven't figured out yet is, and the answer may be obvious, but I'm not sure it is, who's the antagonist? Who's the villain of season 2 of Landman?
Yeah, I thought it was Galena for a while, and he's kind of growing on me. Cammy's starting to annoy me a little bit.
Agree.
I don't have too much of an argument there yet, so that's why I say a little bit. I could see Charlie.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay.
That would be a real haymaker if he was the villain. I think it's supposed to be Galena. But you're right. I don't see his motives. I don't see him necessarily as someone who's out to do doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. This has been a pretty peaceful episode. If you remember, by this point last year, I think Cooper had been blown up twice. Tommy had been put in a sack at least once. Uh-huh. Like, there was a lot of catastrophe. No one's really gotten hurt, which kind of leads me to this interview I read with Jacob Laughlin, I think, in Us Weekly, where he said that there is some significant deaths by the end of this season. I have no clue who that could be.
And this is a 10-episode season, right?
We're halfway through. Got more than halfway through. Right. I know. That's where
maybe
I'm at.
Maybe TL. Maybe TL dies.
Yeah, I just can't figure it out. It could be a periphery character, a Dale or a Nathan, who, by the way, I'm loving, like, new Nathan, like empowered Nathan and his barbs back and forth with Rebecca. At first, I didn't like it, but now I'm really liking it. Like, that's a good pairing.
These little one-liners, I know I do like their juxtaposition to each other. I kind of like how they mold and, yeah.
I don't know that I understood the deal that Cammy, Galeno, and Tommy struck. I don't think we necessarily need to understand the terms. What was important to take away from that scene was that Cammy's calling the shots now. She agreed to the deal against Tommy's wishes. Galeno is now going to finance that offshore well, and they're going to go forward with that. And Tommy seems to soften up a little bit towards Galeno at the end when he shares a little bit of his backstory. How he met Monty and why Cammy doesn't trust him.
Yeah, no, I agree. That was, I think, in that conversation is when I started to think, okay, maybe Galeno isn't completely trying to screw him over. I will see.
Yeah, I agree. I hope he is, just because I think it'll make for a better season finale, but I don't know where it goes. Okay, I know you've wanted to talk about Charlie and Rebecca and that steamy kiss. You think this romance goes the distance?
I kind of think so. Y'all, I literally asked him about the kiss. Like, we are going there in this interview.
It was a hot kiss. I mean, it really was. It was like, damn.
And she kissed him.
Yeah, and then she kissed him back. And he says the perfect thing. He says, it's just funny to watch the torment going inside your head. Because I don't know anybody who's had a few relationships and maybe had a relationship with someone who has seen that sort of process. I shouldn't, I want to, I should, I shouldn't. Like, it's just sort of the gears moving, and he just spot on nailed it.
You can see the writing on the wall where I'm like, you want him, girl, but you're trying to be professional and just rip that Band-Aid off. And she ripped that Band-Aid off. I'm like, queen. Yes.
She is. So you think she's going to spend all 3 days in that little trailer with them? Is it just going to be like their own little love shack for the next 3 days of Landman?
Yeah. She doesn't strike me as a like that. She's like, come to my nice hotel.
Yeah. One night of that. And then she's going to get back in that. What does she drive? Is that a Jaguar she drives?
It's bougie, whatever it is.
Very nice vehicle.
I'm loving it. We're ruffling her feathers, and it makes me, I needed to see that out of Rebecca. She was too tight knit.
I needed to see some depth of character from her, and a lot of growth. And I think we've talked about this over and over again in this podcast, how Taylor Sheridan will let one character kind of grow through like a story arc through a season. I think this is Rebecca's. Last year we had Angela and Anzela to a certain extent. I think we're seeing Tommy's and Cooper's against both seasons. But now Rebecca's getting hers.
Yes, you do this every time. You go Ansley and Angela. You mix Angela and Ainsley's names together every time. Angela, Ainsley. You take half of their names and you swap them.
The problem is I drink a lot of coffee. So I just get excited. And everything just kind of goes.
Like, people are going to start calling you out.
They do. Right.
They're both A names with A-N. Yeah.
I'd throw you in there, AAA.
Yeah. Addison
Ainsley. Addison Ainsley, Angela, they're all the same.
I know.
All right. I don't got anything more to talk about with regard to this episode. I didn't have a lot of takes. Granted, I just watched it a short bit, so I barely had time to process. But that leaves us plenty of time, I think, to share this interview with Guy Burnett.
Yeah. Thanks, y'all, for tuning in. Here comes Guy Burnett, who plays Charlie. Thank you for listening. The Dutton Rules Yellowstone Franchise podcast is another fun and interview exclusive Townsquare Media podcast. Enjoy, y'all.
It's like we prepared for that.
It's like I was ready.
Done.
Okay, we watched the screener for episode 6. Oh, and yeah. You have a scene with Miss Kayla Wallace where there's some heat behind the kissing scene that you have on the back of the truck bed.
Oh, yeah?
When you go into a scene like that, do we practice? Do you just tell Kayla, like, look, follow my lead? This is how this is going.
Man, it's weird being an actor, right? It's like you get to do this stuff. Yeah, I think, how do we, you know, Kayla and I built some chemistry, you know, before we even got started on the show. We met each other. We talked about life. We got to know each other. We tried to bring those elements to the characters and to the screen. And I think, look, you know, those passionate kissing moments, you need two people who are game to do this. You also got to like each other to some degree. Otherwise, I think the audience can tell when it's like, this is just fake nonsense. But it's also, there's a respectful element. You know, Kayla's a married woman and she has a very handsome and nice husband who I like very much. But then, you know, you're also in the character, you have to bring... You just have to bring that fire to it, man. Otherwise, you guys, we wouldn't really be talking here, would we? It's like, what's the point? Who cares? So it's like, you know, you take what's on the page and let's bring something to it. Let's bring that fire in.
Well played on giving the husband props. That's a total pro move. You know, keeps you safe. Is Rebecca Falcone, is she anything like Kayla Wallace?
No.
Are there any similarities in their personality?
No, I mean, listen, Kayla is, you know, a strong, independent woman like Rebecca Falcone is. But other than that, and, you know, no, there isn't really much. But Kayla is one of the kindest, most generous, gentle human beings you can come across. You know, she's just a sweet girl from Vancouver Island, you know, and... which shows what a good actor she is, you know? And she just, I think this, you know, Charlie coming into that world brings potentially a new dimension to Rebecca, you know? And I think that's, you know, that's also fun for someone like Kayla to play as well.
Charlie is definitely a lovable character, but my question, you know, we love him right now. Will we still love him in the end?
Look, I can't give away too much because, you know, I'm just not allowed to. Otherwise, I'd tell you everything. But look, I think, you know, no, his heart is, he's a good guy, this guy. You know, he's who he is, he's an adventurer. He's a happy-go-lucky guy who lives for the moment. He's, you know, he's literally from adventure to adventure. He's an Indiana Jones type. He's like, you know, he wants to, whatever he's gone through in his life, he's there to enjoy that moment as if it might be his last. Now, he hit the jackpot with her. Like, she is out of his league, you know, and that's the truth. And he just happens to get lucky and they have great chemistry and it's authentic for him. I think it is for both of them. And these are two people with two different philosophies in life that happen to match each other and the circumstances have brought them together and keep drawing them together. How this develops from there is that he also, you know, he's in that world because he has a certain set of skills. He has an expertise in this world, in this area, as an engineer, as a geological petroleum engineer. And so naturally, he's then going to, you know, he's going to come into the MTEX world and whatever skill set he can bring there. Now, without giving away too much, you know, Charlie's also being an adventurer and being this happy-go-lucky guy and having the philosophy of living every moment we can, he's a risk taker. He's a gambler. And that could rub people up the wrong way if it doesn't match the narrative that they have. Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to it, like, he believes in himself, you know. But I think in essence, You know, this guy is a good human being. It's the circumstances, like with everything in this show, the genius behind all of this is that you have these characters who, you know, whether their heart's in the right place or not, it's the circumstances that lead them in a direction that challenges their own disposition in a way.
Yeah.
But let's back up just a little bit.
Yeah.
How did you hear about this role? How did you get connected with Taylor Sheridan and Landman? And did you have any familiarity with the program before you signed on?
I did not. Really? I hadn't seen Landman. I hadn't seen any of Taylor's television shows. I'd seen Taylor's films. Seen his movies. Yeah, I'd seen his movies. I was very familiar with, obviously, who he was. And the circumstances in which this came about are incredibly unconventional. I think that kind of fits into Taylor's mercurial world in general. We bump into each other, this handsome, tanned, muscled up guy comes up to me in a boxing. I was at a boxing gym during, or we came up to each other and we like chatted away, introduced each other. Yeah. And ourselves to each other. And, you know, he went off and I got a text saying like, hey, listen, Taylor Sheridan's interested in you. Like he wants to do this thing. And I was like, it was just bizarre. I was like, what? And then I was like, all right, well, what is it? And then I didn't hear anything. And so I just let it go. And then time passed. I was taking a bit of a hiatus. Like I worked a lot during 2024 and I was just like, I wanted to recalibrate myself. And what is it what's my next step that I want to do? Like I'm at an age where I'm like, you know, I want to take it to the next, you know, what happens here now? And so I was just taking a moment away and then I see him again somewhere in New York by chance, just plucked out, like bizarre, like, you know, and he's like, oh, he's like, there he is. There's my new employee.
Stop.
Yeah. And I was like, excuse me?
That's a little strong.
Like, well, I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, wait, they didn't tell you? And I'm like, no. Like, and he was like, come here, sit over here. He's like, all right, so you're going to be Indiana Jones, man. And I was like, Taylor, wait, what's going on here? Yeah. It's going to be and he's this brilliant person. And I was like, yeah, all right, let's rock and roll, man. This is, you know, I don't get to choose. You're telling me, all right, yeah. Let's go, man. Like, you know, and, you know, I think he had an idea for it. And then once you're there, his mind is constantly operating in like real time. And so he'll just develop from there, however he wants to. And if he has an interest in that story and to keep developing with it, then lucky me and, you know, get to keep doing it. But yeah, that's the circumstances. I can't explain it to you, you know, and I promise you that 99.9% of this is like hard work and dedication and, you know, sticking in there, you know, for as long as you can. But I can't explain how this occurred. I wish I could tell you. It was just, oh, it was my, no, he's there's some kind of magic around him and it draws in.
Yeah,
the people at the right time.
Yeah, no, that's an epic story.
Crazy.
Oh my God, that's epic.
Yeah. Cool guy, man. Really cool guy. I'm very lucky and very appreciative.
Did you have to, going into this role, obviously being an oil and gas engineer, did you have any knowledge of the Landman oil and gas world before this, or how did you essentially study?
No, I didn't. I mean, Taylor told me, like, it was like, look, he's Indiana Jones. This guy's an adventurer and he's a geologist. And I was like, oh, okay. A geologist. Okay. That's something I can go and study and get. And also, to be honest with you, the idea of geology, I think it's like a lot of things in life when it's not described in an enticing way, or then I think, oh, boring, you know. But once you actually read into it and you actually get to understand it, it's the most fascinating, incredible, interesting subject. And it's really about the origins of our planet and the origins, and then the origins of our universe, you know, the chemicals and the, you know, everything within the rocks, tell you a story. You know, it's, you know, you cut into a rock and it will tell you the story of our planet and what was in that specific place throughout history and time, whether it was oceans and rivers and or animal or whatever it might have been. As soon as I understood that, I became kind of obsessed with it because I was like, this is everything. This is everything. If you think about it, it fits into theology. It fits into all the sciences. It fits into, and anyway, you see, I'm enthusiastic about it because I really got into it. And then I get these, you know, monologues talking about it, and I'd go deep into like researching that even further, and going like, there's no way he got this 100% right. And in fact, I thought I caught him out once on something. I remember being on sales. I think, no, this part. And then they went and I was wrong. And he was right. And then from then on, I was like, I'm never questioning this one. This guy knows his shit. He knows his shit about everything. And so I was like, all right, let's go. Like, I'll research it, but I trust it 100%. So that was the fun part of it as well.
You, the cast of the show is obviously so amazing. And you did an interview with Sharp Magazine where you talked about getting drinks with Sam Elliott. And I wonder in that situation, who pays? Do you buy Sam a drink, or he's probably so made more cheap money?
Like, I had to pay for the, no, I'm kidding. No. Who pays? I think, do you know who picked up the tab on that one? I'm pretty sure it was Andy Garcia. Yeah, that was, so I would stay in this hotel. So look, here's the thing. There's a lot of drinking that goes on in that show, man. And naturally, you know, sure. You smoke, you drink. This is the Land Man world. And most of my nights were me and Billy Bob, like, hey, we're done for the day. Let's meet at your trailer. Let's sit outside. We kick a couple of fucking deck chairs. We open a couple of deck chairs and we get some Michelob Ultras and we just philosophize about life till I don't know what time in the morning. And that to me was the most golden thing in the world, like, because he's such a beautiful, beautiful human being. And then I go back to my hotel and then I'd go down like to the lobby area and I'd bump into Andy, who'd be like drinking, and he like, come on, sit down. I'm like, all right, I'll sit down with you. And then we're drinking and I'm like, God, I gotta go to bed now. And then I'd like stand up and then Sam Elliott would walk in. He's like, you know, where are you going, bud? Sit down. And he'd be there with a martini. And I'd be like, well, am I not going to have a martini with Sam?
No, you got to.
He's got to, yeah.
Yeah. And so I sit there and I just, yeah. And so that's the beauty of it. It was really the experience of all these people as well. And I was saying earlier in, you know, I was doing like the press junket. So I was like, It's really important sometimes to emphasize this. Like, sometimes you have to say things, or sometimes you just have to be polite for a reason or sure, whatever. And it's like actors kissing ass and shit. But that's not this. These are cool people who like are just really good at what they do and are lovely to be around. And that goes for every department. It's like Taylor's at the top of it. And then, you know, Stephen Kay, the director, is amazing. And then all the crew, like, everyone is at the top of their game and good human beings.
Was there, kind of going off of this whole conversation of, you know, yeah, little did you know you were going to sit with Billy Bob Thornton in his trailer or, you know, have drinks with Garcia, was there any memorable moment, either from Billy Bob Thornton or Sam Elliott, outside of the story that you just told, that you kind of, in your head, you're like, is this really happening?
Yeah, I think all of it's weird. It's not, do you know what, like all the moments with Billy Bob really should have been that, but they weren't that. They were just so real and honest. And that's like a testament to his personality, that you're never there going, I'm in awe of this, you know, because he's just so humble and down to earth. So you don't really get that. There were so many funny moments, like, especially Billy Bob. And like, Billy Bob and I found, oddly enough, like, me being from London, we had such a similar story to each other. We connected on that, and there was a lot of similarities between us, and we just like got on really well, and we just had a laugh. Like, we had a laugh with a lot of things. And I mean, if you want something funny, I don't know.
say it on here, but you can edit it out. Like, there was some, like, you know, Billy Bob would keep saying these things at the beginning, especially when we first started working to each other, like, about, like, you know, oh man, he's chewing your ass, man. He's chewing your ass, bud, you know, stuff like this. And I was like, the fuck is his obsession with getting his ass chewed out? And I was like, is this not? And then I was like, well, you know, probably want to get on with him. You know, I want to be, I'm a people pleaser. So I let him know. I didn't know. I had these conversations. I would throw into conversations weeks later about stuff about, like, ask. Oh yeah, you know, like that person asking, and he'd be like, "It's like, bud, why are you always talking about?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? You're the one who brings it up. You're the one who's talking about getting your ass." He's like, "No, it's a saying. It's something that we say down here. It's like somebody telling you off or like giving you shit." I was like, "What? Call it that then? I'm not the idiot here." You know, I've just taken it in a literal sense.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. There was also something else like that, and I can't remember it right now, but I remember that one. I just thought he was obsessed with bums.
They must have had fun with you, man. I tell you, if you went on that one, they learned that and they didn't let go, probably. I think that's all we got, man. I that's all the time. Yeah,
let's leave it on that. He's gonna get a lot more.
We loved you. I loved you in Oppenheimer, by the way, and I love you in this.
Thank you, man.
In this series,
thanks,
as well.
Guys. I really appreciate that, man. No, I'm full of appreciation to just work in general, let alone be involved in something like this.
Well, if you're around for season 3, come on back. We'll have you again.
I'd love to be here. Thank you. Love it to you. Thanks for making the time.